And welcome to another edition of the Double Blue Podcast. Mike Hogan with you. Coming up on the show today, our guest will be the big free agent, Darrell Walker. Wide receiver, came over from Edmonton, and we'll get to know the small town guy from Texas and what he's bringing to the Toronto Argos this year. Go over his past. He's got an interesting one. He played with a rather well-known quarterback in college. He was one of Johnny Manziel's favorite targets for one season, and I don't want to dwell on Johnny Manziel for obvious reasons, but for a kid from Texas to play for A&M after going to a JUCO and moving along, it's a pretty cool story, and he ended up here in Toronto, and hopefully we see him get the ball a little bit more this week against BC. So that's coming up on the show today. 0-2, yeah, I know. We all sort of sense the same frustration here. If you're looking for positives, and Lord knows Argo fans are looking for that after the first couple of games that we've seen, talking to a couple of guys from field level, and after the rain delay and the lightning delay specifically in Saskatchewan, it sounds like there was some soul searching done, and just the level of intensity in the second half. And I know you can say, okay, they won the second half of a game that was looked like it was one-sided, but the Argos did come out in the second half and look like a different football team. And if they can get that intensity back, something that was certainly lacking in the first game throughout after the bye, I don't know what I can't put my finger on it, but it just seemed like there was something missing after the bye week. So they came back, they laid the egg, and hopefully they can take whatever happened in the final 30 minutes plus in that game in Regina and keep that going into the BC game, which is a Saturday night game, 7 o'clock, Shipyard at 5 o'clock. Don't forget it's family day. If you've got a kid that you would like to take to the game, whether it's yours or friend of the family, niece, nephew, grandchild, if the youngin is 12 or under, they'll get in free as long as you as the adult have bought a ticket. The best way to do this, so you don't have to get into a line of confusion the day of the game, because it's not going to work. Get your ticket in advance. That's my suggestion. Call the Argo ticket office on Friday if you can. If you're listening on Friday, just get it out of the way and make the switch, and it'll be a whole lot easier. But the organization is keen on getting younger fans involved with the Toronto Argonauts to become fans of the Toronto Argonauts. And hey, it's a hell of a deal. It's a free ticket to a professional sporting event. So would love to see you come down here. Bring your family member or your friend, 12 and under. Let them enjoy the game, and they get to see Iron Man and Spider-Man and Paws Patrol, all of that stuff. So that's coming up. Shipyard this week around is going to be extended. It's going to be a bigger area, so it'll kind of wrap around toward the Argo locker room where there's a store and kind of where that cannon is. That's going to be open as well. So it's going to be a bigger shipyard. We're going to add beer dispensaries for the pregame show. You're still going to have the 25 locations to buy your $5 beer during the course of the game. But before the game, we're going to add a couple of outlets for you to get your beer and some extra food as well. So that starts at 5 o'clock. The radio team of Chris Schultz and yours truly is going to pop down at 5:30. I'll do a couple of other interviews as well from people in and around. Maybe we can get a couple of the players who won't be in the lineup. A couple of injuries hit, obviously, in the last couple of weeks. So we'll try and get one of the players to come up and say hello as well. So that will be at 5:30. Would love to meet and greet you there as well. By the way, if you want to read a feature on Chris Schultz, I wrote one for Argonauts.ca, so you can get it online or on the app. And by the way, since we're there, if you haven't downloaded the Argo app for free at the App Store, here's another added bonus that will be in place for this game. If you've already done it, you can check this out by going to the stadium feature. There's going to be in-seat ordering now, so you don't have to go up and get into the line. They will bring the food to you. You pay through your account. It's a very easy process. You log in, you give them the seat, you give them the order, and you can get beer, not the $5 beer. If you're gonna go for the cheap beer, you're gonna have to go up to one of the 25 locations. But if you want to order one of the full priced beers, or a wine, or a mixed drink, or snacks like a pizza or popcorn or something, or a water, you can do so from the comfort of your seat. You don't have to miss any part of the game. They'll come down and you show photo ID, and the food is yours. It's a very, very simple process, and just another added benefit of grabbing the Argos app, which is free to you. So again, If you want to order anything from the menu, $5 beer is not going to be available from the in-seat ordering option, but you can get basically anything else there. So that's kind of the prelude as to what's going to be happening on Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Again, the Shipyards open at 5. So without any further ado, let us get to the interview portion of the Double Blue Podcast. And our guest this week on the Double Blue Podcast, new guy, big free agent, hot shot free agent, Darrell Walker comes in. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How are you liking life in Toronto? Because I asked you once, I said, how are you liking Toronto? You go, I'm just a country boy.
Yeah, I'm a country boy from a small town, you know, but man, I do love it out here so far. I got the opportunity to go into the CN Tower sometime last week, and I've been roaming through the city somewhat, and I'm kind of, I haven't really got adjusted to the city because it's so big and a lot going on. But other than that, it's cool so far, and I'm enjoying myself.
So Hillsboro, Texas.
Yes, sir.
More Drake or more Willie Nelson in Hillsboro? Because you're like close to Willie's hometown.
Oh, right? It's literally right there. Yeah. Literally. I mean, I probably would have to say more Drake more than likely, but I like Willie, you know. So he's in close proximity to Hillsboro where I grew up from. So, you know, I'm a fan of him for sure. He's been doing for a long time. And like you said, it's real close to Hillsboro. So it's probably about 4 miles from Hillsboro from where I'm from. So, and then he also has a store at Carl's Corner, like a gas station and restaurant. It's
really?
Pretty neat.
Oh, that's cool. Neat. Everybody who plays in Texas has a Friday Night Lights story. What was it like playing at Hillsboro High on a Friday night?
Honestly, man, we could have had a lot more football spirit as far as the students and things like that. But, man, I wouldn't take none of it back for anything, man. I enjoyed it. It was always nice to get out there on a Friday night with the lights popped on. You know, sometimes you get the little cool breeze later in the year. Yeah. But, man, it was a great experience, man. I had a lot of great guys on the team with me, a lot of guys that, you know, I keep in touch with to this day. And, you know, just growing up there in Hillsboro playing football in Texas, you know, I was at a smaller school. So, you know, I admire some of the older schools and, you know, being able to go to some of the older classifications of school, like 5A, 6A games, stuff like that. It felt like college to me, you know. So, I mean, it's just so big out there in Texas, and the stands be jam packed and it just gets crazy out there.
Some guys dominate early in high school. Some kind of grow into it. Were you really good from the like grade 9 on, or did you kind of mature as you got older?
I was a late bloomer, so to speak. And all the way up to my junior year, I was playing running back. So up to my junior year, I played running back, like I was just saying. And then that's when I switched over to receiver my junior year in high school. So, you know, I was always a smaller guy my whole life. So I guess that's why I play the way I do, very physical. So I was a smaller guy playing running back. You know, you get punished at that position. So
like small in weight or small in height?
Small in weight, size, height.
When did you grow? When was your spurt?
I started to grow probably right around late June. Well, the summer going into senior year. But mostly right after college, you know.
Was that like difficult? Because like some guys have that growth spurt and they come out of it and the body hasn't.
That's how. Basically, I mean, my body, I was always real coordinated. But I was just always a skinny guy, you know. I would say I probably graduated high school maybe right around 5'10", 5'11". I'm 6'2 now. So, you know, I probably grew a little bit, but I could be exaggerated. I could be off on the numbers a little bit, but I just remember myself being right around 145 pounds coming out of high school, maybe 5'10", 5'10", you know. So that's just what it was.
So did you have any D1 offers?
I had no scholarships whatsoever.
Yeah.
None. Not
so
one.
You went to JUCO.
Yes. Walked on to my junior college.
And then is that where you put on some upper body?
I put on the college 15, start putting on a little bit of weight. I mean, I think I was playing right around 175 there, 170 to 175 there. It was a tough transition. And, you know, leaving high school, you know, not knowing what to expect next as far as life, you know, and not knowing if you would have the opportunity to play football again.
What did you learn in JUCO about sort of not necessarily the sport of football, but kind of the business and trying to prepare yourself for an opportunity to play D1?
Just if you want it, you can go get it. Yeah. I'm a firm believer in that. And I believe you set your mind to something, then you can accomplish it. I mean, it'll take sacrifice, but I mean, that's just the way I just judge things off of how I treat my life as far as not giving up and continuing to go the extra mile and, you know, things like that. You know, I feel like I believe I'm a hard worker. I wouldn't say that I'm a quitter. That's one thing I believe I'm not. So I didn't quit, man. I just kept going.
Did A&M show interest in you, or did you send film to A&M to try and get their attention?
They actually contacted me on signing day. I was actually going to be a Kansas Jayhawk, you know?
Really?
So yeah, that's where I was pretty much had my mind set on where going. So I was going to end up there, but then, you know, something came through last minute, the last second, and I got an offer from Texas A&M. So, hey, I had the opportunity to stay home. Why not stay? You know, it's a lot warmer in Texas than Kansas, no doubt.
So. Yeah, from the guy who goes to Edmonton eventually.
Exactly.
So I didn't know where Hillsboro was, obviously, small town. Mm-hmm. So I looked it up on a map. You're a lot closer to Waco than you are to College Station.
Yes, 30 minutes. College Station is.
Did you grow up a Baylor fan?
I did not really grow up a Baylor fan. I mean, I did. I had interest in, like, y'all, it's Baylor's college, university, the Baylor Bears, they're good. Things like that. But other than that, I mean, I grew up, you know, like in Texas. That's the crazy thing. You grew up in Texas, you're a Longhorn fan, and then everything all switched over whenever I became an Aggie. So, you know, I'm
you grew up a Aggies. Longhorn fan?
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't say grew up a Longhorn fan.
Okay.
I would just say that's the first team I really, like, I saw on TV, and I really, like, it, like, kind of, like, sparked a little something. Like, hey, that's pretty cool. Wake up Saturday morning to get to play college football in front of all these fans. I just admired it.
So you're watching one team in the backyard brawl, and then you end up going to A&M and playing for the rival. Was that a little weird at first? Or was it just, oh,
I mean,
thank God,
it wasn't really weird because, you know, clearly A&M offered me a scholarship. Yeah. So anything else goes out the window.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm an Aggie. They offered me a scholarship, gave me this opportunity. You know, I have no other college team that, you know, that's going to be over them. So it is what it is.
So you didn't play a lot as a junior, but you got chances as a senior.
Yeah, I didn't get active as much as I wanted to on the receiver side of things. But, you know, I was in there for special teams and things
that.
But going into the senior year is where I really was able to, you know, get busy and do what I do and build some confidence and just continue to build off of my college career at that point. So, you know, and I had a great group of guys, as you know, Johnny Manziel, my one of my best friends, Mike Evans.
Nice receiving core for him to work with.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did. We had me, we had Mike Evans, Travis Labhart, Malcolm Kennedy. Every receiver out there had over 500 yards receiving, over five touchdowns for the year. It was just crazy. We was putting up some crazy numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like watching Madden on Rookie, right? And so let me ask, I'm not going to ask you about Manziel. I'm going to ask you one question. To you, you see the way that he's projected in the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know him as a friend and a teammate.
Right.
What's the one thing about Johnny Manziel in your eyes that is mischaracterized the most by the public and by the media?
You have to say personality, because everybody is on the outside looking in whenever they see, you know, something with any situation that has to be dealt with him. You know, it's always the negative side of things. So it's like, of course, if someone's painting this picture for you and it's negative, you're going to look at Johnny Manziel negative. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, you don't see all the good he's doing. You just see all the bad.
Sure.
So it's like, of course, if that's what you see, you're going to look at it in a negative way.
Yeah, that's good. That's well put. Senior year, you're playing with Manziel. You had two or three really good games. You had a great bowl game. But there was one game in specific I want to focus on. A game against Missouri.
Right.
Who's the quarterback for the Missouri Tigers that night?
James Franklin, man. He was out there killing us, too, man. He was throwing that ball perfect down the field, dropping it in the bucket right off the sideline, man. Just – they was catching. They was turning us up that game. I mean, we had the opportunity to win at the end, and fortunately, our safety missed a tackle, and you know, they ended up scoring there, and it kind of put us in the bind. And
I watched highlights that game last year when Johnny and James got to play each other again, right?
Right.
And I went back and watched highlights. That was a fun game.
It was
like,
a crazy game.
If you didn't have a dog in that fight, wow.
Yeah, it was a crazy game. And then it really, to me, honestly, I feel like it came down. It could have been a better play call.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, you call a screen.
Could have called your number.
Screen, you know, hey, he called a great number. He called Mike. So hey, you know, that's one of my brothers, and I know he'll do the job well. You know, he's been dominating down there, so I'm happy for him. But yeah, man, it turned out that way. Franklin then took the win, and it was out of that year.
You had obviously hopes of playing in the NFL when you got out. Did you expect to be drafted, or were you a guy that kind of knew, okay, I'm going to wait and see how the offers fall after the second day of the draft?
I believed I was going to be drafted, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I believe I had the talent, and I believe I was in a position to get drafted. But, you know, you never know how that's going to go. It's just one of those things. It's a toss-up. So
but you got the opportunity.
Yeah,
sometimes it works out better because if you get drafted in the last round, you're kind of – pigeonholed with one team, right? Now as a free agent, you got an opportunity to.
Well, yeah, but the biggest difference is when you draft a seventh round, that signing bonus money compared to free agency. Like free agency, you might not get no guaranteed money.
GMs are going to want to keep a guy they drafted as opposed to a.
Yeah, I mean, but they'll cut a seventh, sixth rounder. Yeah. It just depends. But you have a little more leeway, I feel, if you're drafted down there. That's just the way of the business and the way things go. You know, of course, you're gonna invest more. When you invested more into someone, you know, you're gonna allow them to build themselves, you know, throughout their career. You know, say you got a rookie you drafted seventh round and he has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna let him develop.
Sure.
So, you know, so it's a lot of teams that do that. You know, and that's just the way it goes sometimes.
So is it Tennessee? Is that where you were in first time?
Yeah, I was in Tennessee and. I know it was a great experience. Obviously, you know, it didn't turn out the way I expected.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot of life lessons from it.
What was the most important thing you learned from that experience?
Just control what you can. I was put in a lot of positions to where, you know, not necessarily me doing a mistake, but, you know, say one of the other rookie guys and now none of us get to practice.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? So that happened several times and didn't get to play not one snap in the preseason, which is absurd.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the way it went. They had a new coach over there, and they knew who the guys they wanted, and that's just the way it went over there.
So you got a chance to play by coming north. Did you know anything about the CFL at all? Like, did you have friends?
Just Warren Moon and simple, you know, the highlights of the league. I heard about the CFL and things like that, but I didn't really know too much about the league at all, as far as the history of it and things like that, and how long it's been around, and how many teams were up here, and the fact that it's 12-on-12 and little things like that. I knew it was football, and that's one thing that I feel like I'm pretty good at. So, hey, football, I'm fine with it.
So how did you end up in – was it your agent?
It was my agent. So basically I ended up in Edmonton. I went to a tryout in Dallas for the Edmonton Eskimos pretty much.
Do you have any idea where Edmonton was?
No, not more.
Did you like the rules of Canada immediately, or did it take a while to kind of warm up to it?
It just took a little while to get used to it because the game is a little bit different. Yeah. But other than that, I mean, it's football to me, so hey.
Mm-hmm. Well, you won a Grey Cup. Where do you hold that kind of in your memory bank right now?
I mean, obviously, man, that's the only championship I've won in football. So, you know, it's definitely at the top. It's definitely at the top. Definitely number one, I would have to say.
Free agency. You end up coming to Toronto. Tell me about that day and that night and that flight. And because that was a weird circumstance to get you on the flight to come up here in the middle of a freezing rainstorm.
Definitely. It was tough, man. Just a long day. Had to go through a lot. But I guess it was just supposed to happen that way, and everything worked out at the end of the day, and I'm here now. So
it's funny because I was in the room with the guys in, you know, the front office as they're making the phone calls, and like they keep checking and saying, "Oh no, there's another delay. Oh no, there's another delay," because you couldn't get out of Houston, right?
No, definitely not.
It was
storming up here.
So they're thinking. Darrell might not want to come here because he's going to have a bad taste in his mouth. Was there anything to that at all? Like, were you at any point thinking?
I mean, just a little upset because my day was drugged out long and I was supposed to be here at a certain time. And, you know, things like that. And other than that, man, of course, no one wants to be in the airport all day.
No.
You know, so I was a little bummed about that, but, you know, it all worked out, so.
So when you came here and agreed to terms, like you went to the Raptor game and everybody was expecting you to make two more stops,
right?
But you decided to accept the offer from the Argos. Then what was it? Was it just money? Was it some familiarity with some of your teammates, like James Franklin from Edmonton? What was it that kind of sealed the deal?
I mean, honestly, a lot of things tied into it. Of course, money, but money is just money. I mean, if you're not comfortable, you know, in the situation that you're being put in, then what is the money? You know what I'm saying? So, or if you're not put in the position to go succeed and do what you do, what is the money?
Mm-hmm.
None of it really matters if you're not able to be happy and do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, of course, money is important because it's a tool that we use in this world.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, hey, the need for money for me is just to help. So it's like, I mean, and to survive, obviously, but it's like, it's the things I can do and the lives I can change with the money.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, that's a big part of it. But at the end of the day, it's like, how comfortable will I be in this system?
Yeah.
Talk to some guys and see how they feel over here. Guys that had, you know, probably played with a couple of these coaches over here. You know, just pick a couple guys' brain and, you know, just the feedback from some of the guys that I played with that's been in this system or around some of these coaches and just get some feedback. things like that to help you make a decision.
Final question. Country boy from Hillsboro in the big, big city now. Mm-hmm. You liking it so far? Like, I'm not talking about football. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about lifestyle. I know you're still looking for an apartment and trying to find a place.
Yeah, I definitely do enjoy it because, you know, you have so much. I mean, it's so much, so many things to do around you at any moment. Yeah. So you have access to so much different activities. Food is literally every couple steps if you're downtown. The lake is right here. You can go do that. They have the CN Tower. They have the Blue Jays downtown. It just a lot of different things you can do. You know, there's never really. I mean, I feel like there's not a dull moment out here because there's a lot of things going on each and every day.
Well, we hope you're here for a long time to enjoy the city and enjoy some wins and get another Grey Cup ring on your finger.
Oh, most definitely, man. That's the goal. Another ring for sure, man. Another ring for sure.
You look really good in double blue, so hope it's a long run. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, man. And blue is my favorite color, so I'm happy I look good in it.
So that's double blue, so it's two times as good. Thank you. Darrell Walker, ladies and gentlemen. Well, that was Darrell Walker, who it's funny when you think about the guys and you know, you think that they go to practice and go home and watch film and, you know, it's just all football. When you move to another city, one of the things that you have to do is find a place to live. And that's what Darrell was doing. He was kind of in a hurry to get out of there. So I appreciate him sticking around as long as he did, because when we did that interview, he's right in the middle of trying to find a place to live for the next few months here in Toronto. So that's something that all of the guys from out of town have to go through at some point, and it's a pain in the rear end, but they've all got to do it. So I thank Darrell a great deal for being able to take some time out, but he had to go and look at another place. So if you rent in Toronto, you know how hellish it is. My stepdaughter's renting in downtown Toronto right now. My two stepsons are doing likewise. So I know the horror stories of trying to find a place at a reasonable rate. And sometimes it just, 95% of the time, it's just, it can't be done. So you got to bite the bullet if you're going to live downtown. So that's what a lot of these guys have to do. And a lot of them will get roommates and just to try and take away some of the bite of living in downtown Toronto. And speaking of taking the bite out of downtown Toronto, we know what it's like in terms of entertainment dollars. And that's why we're offering you the opportunity to bring somebody 12 or under in terms of age, to the game on Saturday night for free. Pretty good deal. Great deal. Buy a ticket and then get another ticket free for somebody 12 or under. Best way to do this is to call the Argos, 416-341-ARGO. Call a ticket rep directly. It's the best way to do it. Figure out how to do it that way. Get your free ticket, go down to the game, and not have to worry about some sort of hassle. If you show up expecting to get a free ticket next to yours by showing up an hour before kickoff, we'll wish you luck. We'll try to accommodate you the best we can, but that might be a little unrealistic if you walk up in time for kickoff and expect to get that. So please, 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 please try to do it as early as you can. That would be my best advice. So that's coming up. The Shipyard at 5 o'clock. Schultz and me will be there. $5 beer all season. $3 hot dogs all season. The group sales option. Go and look at the Argo website, the Argo app, and find out some of the benefits you can get by coming down to a game with a group of 10 or more. Again, the Argos app. Download it. Order stuff from your seat during this game. So the in-seat ordering is going to start on Saturday. Everything but the $5 beer, the snacks, regular price beer, wine, mixed drinks if beer isn't your thing, water, you know, if you want to grab pizza and some M&Ms or, you know, some popcorn for your seat, just do it from the comfort of your seat. You don't have to go and miss any action by getting in line or getting in line, a longer line at halftime. Just order it via the Argos app from your seat. Go to the app store on your phone, download the Argos app for free. And that's just another added bonus for joining us that way. And if you go to the game, you've got rosters if you need those. Everything you need is right on your phone. McLeod Bethel-Thompson takes over. We saw what happened in his first start at BMO Field a year ago. Certainly the highlight of the 2018 season was the win over Ottawa, the last second completion to Armonte Edwards with 1 second left on the clock. That was his first start last year. Hopefully they can have that kind of offensive explosion this year, or this week rather, against the BC Lions. Both teams looking for their first win. So it's a big game. We'd love to see you there. If you can't make it, the game is on TSN. Chris Schultz and I will have the game for you on TSN 1050 with the pregame show and the postgame show as well. Kickoff time just after 7 o'clock at BMO Field. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Darrell for popping by, and we could learn a little bit more about a receiver that we're all hoping gets the rock a little bit more on Saturday. So for everybody involved in the program, I'm Mike Hogan. Thank you for listening to the Double Blue Podcast.